Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
You're Ritash Kattur.
I'm sorry?
Vulcans without logic. It's a name the elders give to anyone who disagrees with the ancestral teachings, but it's not entirely accurate. We haven't abandoned logic. We've simply learned to exist without the need to continually repress our emotions. It's taken years of experimentation, but we've managed to find a balance between the two.
That's not possible.
Here we are.
Logic is an essential part of Vulcan existence. But it has to complement emotions, not exclude them.
You must know a great deal about emotion. You live on a human starship. And that's not something that many Vulcans would be comfortable with.
I am here as an observer.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you.
I'm not capable of feeling offense.
What's wrong? What? Is it already going south? What's happening?
No.
Wait.
I'm sorry.
Would you like to fill anyone in on what the lead up to that whole outburst was?
Okay. Oh, man.
Inburst? Was that an inburst?
Look, Dan's calling it an outburst.
I changed it to an inburst.
The audience might be confused. He's not incorrect.
I am outcorrect.
It didn't sound like...
I'm ex-correct.
It didn't sound like an outburst, but what had happened...
Overcorrect.
What had happened was...
Under-wrong.
Long-time listeners, or short-time listeners, anybody who listened to last week's episode will know that Dan pulled a fun, cute little...
I pulled a stinky.
A cute little prank on me.
Pulled a little stinky.
Where he waited until I pushed start on our clock. We have a big digital red... like a clock.
Like sounds like you're trying clock. To complicate this very simple explanation for starting a clock.
It's a clock. It's a digital clock.
You're like, I have pressed the start button on this
it's
device
like a,
that tells us the time in numbers and it moves
it's
at
a proper,
certain
clock.
Increments, so it allows us to know the length at which our show has been operating in this session until which I press stop and clear, at which point it will start from zero again, and we can press start and repeat the process from the very beginning, and we can do that ad infinitum if we so choose, which we may not choose. But we could right. choose to do.
I don't like your tone.
Right. Hey. To put it more clearly, you were veering very close to Bill Cosby.
No.
I could sense you were
It
you
was
were
about
trying
to start talking about Jell-O pudding.
Not exactly.
Trying to avoid that, but yeah.
Not at all.
It was pretty close. Okay.
So, not at all.
Again.
Not at all.
To give a brief
Nothing
explanation. Last week, Dan was staring at the clock. When I pushed start on the clock, he jumped in before I could say welcome.
I see.
And he said hi. Yeah. So that was last week. Mm-hmm. This week...
Every week it's something different, man.
Dan in particular was eager to start the podcast. We all were, but, you know, Dan was particularly eager. And I pushed... I was looking at him, and he was looking at me, because I was trying to gauge whether or not he was going to pull a similar gag to last week. And so I pushed the button to start while Dan is locked eyes with me.
Oh, man.
And nothing happened, and then I started giggling.
Yeah.
Okay. There we go.
I don't have any regrets.
Good. Glad to hear it. All right.
Gladly.
So now we can do the proper... beginning stuff.
Welcome.
Yes.
Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Which number Morning. Is this?
Can I get you something? Coffee?
Pizza.
Glad you dropped by.
Pizza.
Now, pizza.
Dan's doing a very good job.
Pizza.
Of hiding the fact that he's aggravated that Jesse walked on the front of that a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm sorry about that.
I didn't say anything.
I know it's annoying, and I wasn't thinking again. So I
didn't say anything.
I was you ready didn't to say anything. Start yapping about I'm numbers being, and such.
Patrick, you're being presumptuous.
I'm being compassionate and empathetic.
You're being presumptuous. A bit,
we
though.
Know you don't like that, and I blew it.
But you're right, Dan. I should listen to you. It's fair that perhaps the audience would not have been aware of the instant tension. In the room.
I've always suspected the stories were exaggerated.
You're pushing shit on me. You're making me out like I'm an asshole.
No.
Don't give up now.
To answer Jesse's question.
Jesse's questions. Jesse's questions. Jesse's questions. You're gonna learn today.
I'm gonna remind you both.
Chief O'Brien.
What's happening? What's going on right now?
Prior to the podcast starting,
I'm eating cashews.
These cute little jingles that you, these cute little improvisational songs that you and Jesse were doing were one of the things that were delaying the start.
That's right.
Is it enjoyable?
Of the podcast. It is enjoyable.
Where'd you hear that?
To answer Jesse's question, it is. It's not it was. It is episode 346 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Are you prepared for that?
I am. Are thee?
No!
I know that was crazy jazz.
There is a lot.
That wasn't freeform jazz. That was chaos jazz.
There's a lot to discuss.
Psychological chaos.
This evening, it's evening for us. Whatever the time
so you've said.
For you is.
You can listen to it whenever you want.
That's the cool part about podcasts. Yeah. They're on demand.
You're easily amused.
I am.
Everybody knows that.
In this episode, in episode 346.
Holograms?
Of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Holograms.
What we are going to be discussing tonight is the Star Trek Enterprise episode Fusion.
The Arachnid Nebula.
Oh, it's called Chicken.
You're Ritash Kator. Mind meld.
Ritash Kator.
All right. Just
Chicken.
That's everything that happened in the episode.
Okay.
Is that the thematic? That's the summation of the episode.
Is that the connection?
That's the whole episode.
Would you mind, now that we understand that, Dan?
Rock the Gino. Extra sweet. Makaba bread, no crust.
Now that we understand. That series of clips you played,
mm-hmm.
Extra sweet,
was not meant to be a disconnected, random selection.
It didn't
clips.
Sound that way to me.
I'm not suggesting it sounded that way to me.
But
I'm just clarifying. Because mm-hmm. It's one of those things where sometimes as you go, you're like, what's going on? And then, okay, retroactive.
I don't get it.
That's the theme. So, Dan, would you mind playing those four clips in succession again?
The Arachnid Nebula.
Oh, it's called Chicken.
You're Ritash Kator. Mind meld.
Okay.
That's everything that happened.
That is everything that happened.
The Arachnid Nebula.
So, we don't need to discuss much more of that, right?
No, it's over.
It was chicken marsala, too, I think.
Yeah. We didn't find that out until later.
Kind of weird. What do you think about chicken marsala?
I'm okay with it.
It's okay if they do it right.
I don't crave it, and it's not something I think to order at a restaurant.
Exactly.
But when I eat it, I'm like, this tastes fine.
Yeah. It's
weren't that one of those things?
If they cook it right, if they do the mushrooms right, I think it's more about that.
That were invented in.
What are you doing? You're
England.
What are you? You're affecting some kind of.
No, I'm just saying that marsala was invented.
Marsala,
the chicken marsala.
Marsala.
That was invented.
Oh,
in England.
Chicken not necessarily. Masala. You're talking about tikka masala. This is like chicken marsala, like chicken a marsala wine sauce.
Was that invented in?
It's some kind of
in India, sure. Or in
that's more
England.
European or American.
But I think it's all invented in England.
Well, you're talking about the Indian food, chicken tikka masala.
Yes.
This is marsala,
which is like an Italian thing.
It's more of like an Italian thing, yeah.
It ain't an Indian thing.
No.
Okay.
Italian.
Great.
I can understand why you'd be intrigued by their philosophy.
Phlox is great. Okay. Yes. Lots to discuss.
That's unlikely.
Have a nice framework based off of Dan's sound tracks.
Not necessarily.
I mean, to be fair, you're right.
But I could be wrong.
Okay. A few programming notes today, and then some.
Yes.
Some front matter, which we will do at the front.
Is there any later matter?
Well, there's.
Later matter.
There isn't later matter, but we
middle
will.
Matter? Middle matter?
But there is a discussion about middle matter and later matter.
I'm not joking, Lee.
Which, again, the context will be clearer to folks who listened last week. Even though.
Oh, yes.
In principle, these are intended to be evergreen podcasts that you can pick and choose from.
Sometimes you get a bit of chronology.
In practice, there is a little bit of a fun week-to-week thing. And also, you know, you go too far back. I don't
go too far back, guys.
Unless it's a TAS episode. Every podcast we've done where we've discussed Star Trek, the animated series, has been a banger podcast.
Oh, hell yeah.
A banger.
Is it like Bangers and Mash?
It is.
It's like a bell ringer.
In that direction.
It looks delicious.
Yes. Okay, a couple of programming notes.
I don't need them funny sauces.
First of all.
It's big. It's big.
Must have been intense.
It's big. It's big.
It must have been intense.
It's big. It's big. It's big.
It must have been intense.
It's big.
It is profoundly intimate.
It's big.
It's kind of personal.
It's big. It's big.
It is profoundly intimate.
It's big.
Dan's making programming note number one unintentionally extra funny.
It will get easier.
Because I wanted to point out, I was recently diagnosed with adult ADHD.
Oh, really?
Right on, dude.
I was wondering
adult
how that turned
ADHD.
Out.
You were talking about getting tested.
I went to the doctor and
I didn't realize you were getting tested so soon. Otherwise, I would have asked you how it went.
Congratulations.
Well,
what's funny is I was.
You know damn well what happened.
They ask you a bunch of questions. And it's like, I don't know, it's like 20, 30 questions or something. When there were about like 10 questions down, the doctor was looking at me like, I mean. Yes, but we'll finish. We'll finish, but like already you've filled whatever.
So they didn't.
You hook me up with like some Ritalin?
No. No, like, I can't.
Yeah, he'll give it to you right here while we're making the podcast, and he'll take it on the podcast, but we'll make it our only video podcast so everyone can see.
We're going to throw this up on YouTube.
Yeah.
I wasn't prescribed Ritalin. You were asking something, Dan?
Like, because it's different depending, I guess, on how you go to get tested, because some tests are like legitimate tests where they stick you in front of like a computer screen and it'll flash images at you and you're supposed to like click the button when you see
that,
certain things.
That was the test they took where they they put the thing on your penis to see what images aroused you.
Right. Or if that's like
it's quite an experience.
That's like if you're a racist test.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Like in King of the Hill.
Yeah. Yeah, where you click the fear button. Yeah.
Look. I took an ADD test once when I was a kid.
Yes.
And they sat me in front of a computer screen. Mm-hmm. They left the room and the computer screen like flashed these images and I was supposed to like click some button when I saw a certain thing.
Yeah.
And if I had ADD, it meant like halfway through I would get distracted or I don't know, something like that.
Well,
but the point is that they didn't ask you questions that you answered.
Yes.
And then we're like, I do this. I feel like this. It was straight up. It like was a literal test of your ability to pay attention via like how you clicked. It was, I guess, to prevent you from like cheating or something.
Well, a few notes. First of all, I think that's partly because when you're a child, it's a little bit different than as an adult in terms of the communicative or the ability to understand your lifestyle. And you know,
it's not working.
Also, one of the reasons I went to go get checked was because I had multiple times as a child teachers and other people were sent me to be checked for ADD or ADHD. And every time the person who tested me was like, nah, he's just super smart. He's just bored.
He's bored.
He pays attention when he's interested. And that
interesting.
They were like, oh, that means he's not doesn't have ADD. He's just like an asshole.
Just means everything's boring.
Interesting.
But then later, more recently, I found out that that was wrong, that it's actually very common for people with ADHD to be able to pay attention to things they're into.
That was back in the day.
To the detriment of things they ought to be doing, right?
Yeah, I mean, just to say, like, yeah, I mean, it's interesting to me that they can say, oh, he's just bored, because, like, well, obviously you're bored. You don't just not pay attention because you're super interested in the subject, so you decide not to pay attention. Yeah. I mean, being bored by something doesn't mean that you're inherently too dumb for it, too smart for it. And there is no implication with that. Yeah. It just means that you're not into it for whatever reason.
Yes. That you're inattentive to it for one reason or another.
Because it sucks, that's why.
The other, there were a pile of things that got me into the position where I was like, maybe I should look into this. And one of those other things, which I think is related to what you're talking about, Dan, which is more recently understood, is that many people are able to mask their ADHD symptoms with various coping mechanisms, one of them being just super constantly busy or doing a job or whatever their lifestyle is that there's always something going around for their brain to bounce around to, so that they maybe are effective even if they are dealing with these issues of executive function. It's similar to the, you know, you can have a high functioning alcoholic or drug, you know, people can be high functioning because they're just whatever, they've got the skills to cope around it. But then, you know, you're like, wait a second. When some of those things go away or you're less busy or whatever, you're like, shit's starting to get weird, right?
Relax.
So, long story short, I bring that up only...
Yes, I'm wondering why you brought this up in a Star Trek podcast.
Well, it's not just because it's a Star Trek podcast. Mm. I just wanted for the audience to understand, as a programming note, that if I fail to interrupt Dan sufficiently, or if those interruptions appear forced or insincere... I'm just trying to give some background as to why that.
Because your medication is preventing you from interrupting?
Yeah, I was prescribed Adderall.
Oh, snap.
And so it's possible that if it works,
you wouldn't be interrupting
as much.
For all we know, they're onto something.
Because interrupting people is one symptom of ADHD. Impulsive finishing sentences,
right.
Interrupting people. Now,
I can see that.
To be fair, it is also comically entertaining to do that. And so if
for
you're
who, though? For who?
For the audience.
Not necessarily. I would not say that it is necessarily entertaining for the audience. For some people,
for the
maybe.
The portion of the audience that does not identify with the Dan character.
I think you're making making a grand assumption about what is and is not entertaining. Now, I'm not going to say it's not entertaining because I don't know, but I don't think that I don't find people talking over each other particularly and as entertaining as a lucid, coherent conversation.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think that is an extremely fair point to make.
I think, yes.
And while it's subjective,
that's good to know.
I think many people would agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're going to strive for that.
Yeah,
in the future.
Yeah, I mean we've said it before.
I don't mean to put too fine a point on this, but you've got a limited window of opportunity.
Okay. Programming note: numero dos.
Is that another thing you do
that
when you're
number
on
two?
ADHD medication? Is you
start speaking Spanish?
You start speaking Spanish all slowly and deliberately.
See.
Numero dos.
Sí.
Sí.
Punto negro.
Oh, no. Puntos negros. That's what Senora Home would always give whenever I fell asleep in class or whatever.
Well, Dan and I took Spanish together. We had a lovely Spanish teacher.
Lovely.
But because Dan and I were not always the best students necessarily, got a lot of punto negros, which translates to black point. That's in the up. in her grading book, she put a little
thank you,
with,
doctor.
With her pencil. She put a little black point.
Thank you, Trip.
For
she
that
didn't
day,
use a, like, a little sticker.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. It was a, it was
thanks
a
for the message.
I was in Cancun recently, and I mentioned that story to one of the people I was talking to from Mexico, and they threw the. It was two people actually, and they both threw their heads back laughing.
They know
about Puntos Negros.
They know about the Puntos
and the one
Negros.
Guy was like. He was like, I also always got punto negro in Spanish class. He's like, and I'm Mexican.
I had
a great laugh.
I fell asleep in that class so much that we were doing like skits in Spanish, and some like one of the groups did a skit where they were like being different members of the classroom, and one person, Brendan, you remember Brendan?
Yes,
Brendan F.
Yeah, Brendan F. He was playing the role of me, and his whole role during that skit was to be asleep on his desk, and every once in a while put his head up and go like, ¿Qué? ¿Cómo? And then fall back asleep again. That's how much I fell asleep in that
did
class.
Did he ask for like the El Baño and was denied?
Oh, no, man, that's a different class, math class.
That's a story for a different day.
I wouldn't be surprised if I had some kind of narco-sleepy or something. Because
narcolepsy?
Like, yeah, I know. okay. Jesse says narco-sleepy, so I say narco-sleepy.
I like narco-sleepy.
Some old movie, I forgot.
Because, like, it's not that I tried to stay awake in my classes. I fell asleep in that class and in math class. Mm-hmm. I couldn't stay awake. Like, I literally could not stay awake. And I have that problem to this day.
Is it because everything's, like, so calming? You're, like, sitting there and, like, it's, like, knowledge.
I think it's because it's so infuriatingly math. Awful that maybe, your brain shuts down.
Maybe like, that's what it is. My like, brain shutting
let's not
down.
Listen.
Or a lack of sleep, because certainly in the U.S., they wake our asses up way too early
oh,
for
God,
high school.
Oh, school is way up too. Okay, we should probably get back on topic.
All right. All
what
right.
was it? Star Trek?
Yeah. I don't know.
So,
hey, should I have a gimmick this episode? Like,
you don't get it.
Like I'm going to be different this episode. How about that's my gimmick this episode? I'm going to be different.
Let's go for that. I'm gonna be different.
Yeah, you can be different. I can be different.
I'll be different over here. Patrick's you can be different over there.
Patrick is different, but just from he's medicated.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah. I'm gonna send both of you a couple links after the podcast.
I thought you said I'm gonna send both of you to the slammer. Okay. I'm gonna kazoo you to the moon.
Kazoo you.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I don't know.
Definitely sending those links. Okay, programming note number
I didn't
two.
Know kazoo is a verb.
I know we haven't done Where the Hell Have I Heard That Before?
You motherfucker.
We blew it last week.
AKA WTHHIHTB the last few weeks because we've been, it's our recording schedule's been.
It was a foolish thing to do.
Been a little weird and I had some technical problems last week. And I decided, you know what? We're going to be starting coverage of Strange New Worlds season 4 in just a few weeks. So why don't we'll take a little break from WTHHIHTB. And
you must think we're a bunch of barbarians.
Let's start it back up when we discuss our first episode of Strange New Worlds coming back, because I think it's a great time to start. You know, there's always a bunch of new listeners and or returning listeners who only want to hear the new episode coverage. So
good for them.
I think that'll be a fun time.
Thanks for listening.
I'll try, but something tells me it won't be as simple as fixing an engine.
An engine. We've gotten some great suggestions sent to us. Grayson, thank you so much. Grayson sent me some really good ones. I look forward to using. Please.
Thanks, Agamus.
If you would like to send in a sound clip, 10 seconds or less, or time codes is fine. You can send us the time codes from some part of Star Trek, any movie, TV show, whatever. The goal is a sound clip that will be difficult but plausible for other audience members to guess.
It'll only take a moment.
That's the game. All right. So that'll be coming up soon. You can send those suggestions.
Don't be too hard about it.
To feedback at itsgotstartrek.com. Great. Now, those are my two programming notes. Dan, do you have any programming notes? Can we expect any that's in orders? Or
Dan can't stand.
Duties or no duties. Or I have here, Dan can't stand.
Grinds
or,
my gears.
Dan won't stops. Or
oh, yeah.
Dan eats clamses. Like any of those features.
Clamses. Bit's got the shits. Sorry.
It looks delicious.
It is aesthetically pleasing.
I think it's been a little while since Bits had the shit, as they say. That's a play on Dan's.
It's quite an experience.
All I've, the only programming note is that I'm going to be different this episode.
Yeah. So there's there's no duty or no duties.
No, that's one of the ways in which I'm different.
Nobody said duty this episode.
None.
Okay. And yeah, I don't recall any that's in orders.
No.
Okay. I'm guessing there's probably a secret.
They all fail.
A secret Dan can't stand, or one of those Dan can't stands that Dan doesn't even realize is a Dan can't stand until he starts talking about it.
There
were some other funny things that people said on this episode for sure.
There was a ton of funny stuff. Okay, a few remaining things as we get nearer to having to take our first break. But these are all appropriate podcast and Star Trek related. First,
sure.
Okay.
First, a YouTube comment from
these are our messages.
Our old friend Tarek,
hell yeah.
Regarding our discussion of Voyager's alliances.
Alliances.
That's what we discussed.
That's what we discussed
last week.
I'm gendering a different week. Alliances.
I'm different this week.
Now, I'm different.
Prior to reading,
I'm Dan, but I'm different this week.
Prior to reading Tarek's comment, I should briefly explain that the cover art, you know, the YouTube art, the marketing art that I used for the episode Alliances included three images. First, it was alien fella. Don't worry about it. Just it's an alien fella that was in the episode.
This is irrelevant.
It's not. The second is Janeway with Maj Kulla sitting at a table, and Janeway sort of looking off to the right, very concerned. Mm. And then the third image is a close-up of, at one point in that episode, Neelix goes into a seedy bar.
We're dangerous.
A seedy alien bar, and there is what's presumably, I suppose,
an exotic dancer.
An exotic dancer, stripper, whatever you want to call it, although she is clothed, but...
It's, meat, you know.
she's dressed.
And she's like a Kazon.
Sexily.
She's not a Kazon.
Not a Kazon.
I don't know.
It was a Kazon strip club.
That doesn't mean she was Kazon. Yeah,
there were lots of other aliens.
Yes, fair enough.
Okay. But they were taking away all the non-Kazons to jail, but maybe not her.
Yeah, but we didn't fully buy that, remember? Because last week we noted that there were plenty of non-Kazons in that bar.
Yeah.
But, so the gag, if you can't quite visualize this, the gag is that it kind of looks like Janeway is looking with distaste or confusion at this woman's body, scantily clad body, because we do try to have a little fun when we put these graphics together. So just to explain that. And then middle matter versus later matter, right? That was some brief, hilarious discussion we had because last week I took the front matter, you know, all these emails and stuff, the stuff we're doing now.
And he made it butt matter.
And I said, let's move it to the middle and do middle matter or middle later matter. I forget what I called it, but then we had a discussion about whether middle matter
pitter-patter
or later matter was the more fun phrase for
Starfleet's finest.
Yes. Okay, now I can read Tarek's comment. Tarek says,
go ahead.
You just had to make Janeway stare at that rack, huh?
Yeah.
You mean sex.
You see why I explained the picture, right?
Okay. I do.
Also, because it sounded like Jesse really wanted somebody to defend him, of course he was right. Why would B'Elanna say, B'Elanna's on it?
B'Elanna's on it.
She's not the Rock, FFS, which is short for fuck's sake.
B'Elanna's on it.
What he's referring to there is the for me...
That she does not smell what she's cooking?
No. For me, the hilarious realization for both myself and Dan... and not Jesse, was that the clip B'Elanna's on it that we've been playing for years.
B'Elanna's on it.
It's one of our most common go-tos. In fact, the AI thinks it's a prominent quote from
probably due to
Voyager
us.
Because I'm positive because of this podcast. Both Dan and I thought that it was a quote from B'Elanna, referencing herself, talking in the third person, cutely saying B'Elanna's on it.
Crazy idea.
I don't know why you thought that.
But Jesse and apparently the rest of the world knew that it was in fact Seska, the character. Seska.
It's the best part.
It was a hollow version of
Seska.
Holograms?
It was from that episode we did.
Hologram.
That was like One of the early sound grabs.
Yeah, that was called, was it Worst Case Scenario? I think that's what it was called. Yeah. Something like that. Okay. So there's the Balanas on it business. And
I didn't mean to offend you.
Tarek finishes up his comment by saying, also, alliteration of middle matter edges slightly ahead of slant rhyming later matter.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about edging, but...
Hmm.
Well, now...
I figured somebody was going to do that.
Yeah, Dan's making a sexual reference to the sexual practice of edging. Mm-hmm. I know that's the reference he's making because of the look on his face.
I'm not making a look.
It's Dan's coy, sexy boy look.
Not at all.
It's a good look. It's one of the reasons.
Nothing at all.
Sometimes I'm glad we're not on YouTube. That's one of the times I'm sad we're not on YouTube. Yeah. Dan does a good sexy face.
I'm making a sexy face. I'm just being different.
He's a nice looking.
I told you I was going to be different this episode.
All right.
I think later matters better because it's more like weagle woggle, you know, as opposed to waggle waggle waggle, as opposed to waggle daggle. Let me start over.
I'm picking it up, baby.
All right, you know what? Okay, well, let me mark it so we can edit that mistake.
No.
I put a mark on the. I'm gonna make a note.
I didn't ask for that.
No, I know. I'm kind of joking.
It's like weagle ma. Weagle, deagle smaggle is better.
Smeagle.
Than
Smeagle killed
doggle doogle. You see?
All right.
What I'm saying?
How about this? We're going to take a quick break. Baby. And we'll finish up this front matter. And we promise we're going
to
discuss this
episode.
It's going to be fun. There's going to be a lot of stuff. You're gonna dig it. You're going to totally dig it. All right. We will be right
take it
back.
For real.
We will be right back.
Go slowly.
Here we are.
Come in.
I like that. I like the tail on that.
I like the tail on you.
That's a good tail.
I like that. That's
a good tail.
I answered
soft the ship sound, that calming.
It's because I'm. It's because I'm being different today.
Now,
everything I've done
I'm different this week.
Everything I've done has been different, and you know it's true because I've been telling you that's true.
You know it's true.
Boy, you know it's true. See how I changed it?
Good.
To reference you.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Because it's different.
I love you.
You talk about poo. Which I do.
Do 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 do.
I do 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 do.
Who is that? Was that Bobby Brown? Or is that who just sang who
no,
fuck, it's like why? New Kids.
Yeah.
Kids. Why did I think it was fucking Bobby? Yeah. Jesus Christ.
I know.
That's shameful. I'm sorry.
I know, right?
Oh God.
Bobby Brown had some substance.
Were they the ones who came to our
No, Bobby Brown was like, every little step I take, we will. Every little step I make.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
And the one is like, it's my prerogative.
Yeah,
you can do what you want to do. It's my prerogative.
For folks who grew up somewhere outside of the
20th century,
mid-Atlantic geographically, and the 1990s temporally, what Dan, Jesse, and I are referencing are songs you hear when you're at the haircuttery. These are songs you hear like at the haircuttery or as you're wandering around the mall.
No, that wasn't New Kids on the Block. That was Milli Vanilli. Wasn't that Milli Vanilli?
Which? Oh.
Girl,
oh,
know,
yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Milli
Vanilli. What was the band that came to our high school and then later became famous? Was that the NSYNC or the other one?
Backstreet Boys.
Backstreet Boys.
Whoa. Jesus Christ.
Sorry. I apologize. Yeah. Back. Has
yeah,
a,
Backstreet Boys.
There's a terse.
That's not possible.
All the girls were screaming.
Okay, no, they weren't. It was actually hilariously stupid. Wasn't that the funny thing?
I think everyone was just confused.
It was goofy and confused.
Really? Yeah, we're like, why are we having like, this? Why are we having this assembly?
Is this really at school?
Yeah. Okay, FYI, I know this is another.
Still haven't gotten to this episode.
Nah, it's fine.
We'll get there, baby.
You just don't want to talk about it because it's all serious, Patrick.
No, I do want to talk about it. I think I like this episode. And I enjoy the work that Jolene Blaylock did in this episode. However, because you brought it up, when the Backstreet Boys, they did indeed, before they were famous, come and perform at our high school. And when they did that, please understand that this was not in some sort of auditorium. It was in the gym, and most people were just sitting on, like, the floor of the gym, as
I was
I
in
recall.
The bleachers.
Yeah,
it was a foolish thing to do.
Some people were just on the floor of the gym, and the Backstreet Boys performed just at the same, like, just on the gym floor, dancing around. and bright light, no
like
fun
they were
lights.
Basketball players.
Yeah. Okay.
They were unsettling.
Yes, they were. Okay, we are back, and we will rapidly go through the remaining bits and pieces we have to do, and then we'll discuss this episode.
Pleasing.
We also had a YouTube comment from Kara.
She did.
Yes, regarding our discussion of TNG's The Schizoid, Schizoid Man just a few weeks back. And the context for this comment is that my daughter had a concert in which the school had won.
Whose daughter?
My daughter.
Are you speaking from Kara's perspective?
No. Okay, I'm sorry. No, Patrick, I'm providing Patrick's context. Daughter. I have not started Kara's comment.
You were not clear about that.
Okay. Thank you.
Sabotage.
For pointing that out, Dan. To clarify.
I don't get it.
Kara's comment has not yet started. I will be very clear.
Where would I stay?
I'll be very clear. The context is my daughter had a concert. Her school had won an opportunity to have a song composed for their band by a well-known composer.
Did she put in a concerted effort to play well at the concert?
Going to sort of skip past that pun. Yeah,
this is irrelevant.
As well you should.
In order to get along to our discussion of the episode with some degree of alacrity.
What?
So, the composer, when we're watching this song being performed, this not song, music.
Most people don't watch songs.
Whatever you call it. I don't know. Jesse can tell me the right term. It was a music composed. It was a composition. Composed.
You're enjoying
song
it.
Song has worth.
You enjoy
specifically
it.
Specifically for this middle school band in which my daughter plays the clarinet quite well.
Are you sure it's not the oboe?
The composer.
He didn't answer my question.
You got to be pretty sure.
When he got up prior to conducting this, the composer himself came
Who
to
was
the school.
Composer?
I will follow up
was
with you.
Was it James Swearengin?
It was not.
I don't think that guy's alive.
The composer addressed the audience and stated that he was a huge fan of Star Trek.
Hell yeah.
And that he had composed this song. The song was titled something like, I don't know, something. What do you, with the maneuvers, you know, like the maneuvers you evasive maneuvers. He titled the song Evasive Maneuvers.
That's great news.
And the band played it. It was great. The fun part is as soon as I saw the title Evasive Maneuvers, or he stated that, I leaned over to my wife and I was like, this guy likes Star Trek. And then he was all like, I named it that because I like Star Trek. And I hope the song evoked Star Trek. It did.
It did.
It was cool. Yeah. I want to get that sheet music. Perhaps I can get it via Jesse.
Yeah,
that's the business he plies. Is he's he fiddles around in the sheet music world. So, long story short, on the podcast, I had mentioned this story, and I was relaying this story, and then I mentioned that I went up to the composer afterwards, I complimented him, and I said, I'm also a fan of Star Trek. He showed me his hand, and he said, look at my watch! Look how big a fan of Star Trek I am! Because his watch had a custom band that was festooned with Starfleet Delta symbols.
Mm. Festooned.
I smiled broadly, and then showed him my...
Oh, God.
I brandished my ankle, and I was like, check this out! I got a Star Trek tattoo! And I showed him the Starfleet Delta tattooed to my left leg.
And he said, please leave, sir.
And he looked at me and was like, whoa, you really do love Star Trek.
You know, when you lifted your ankle, you were like lifting you lifted your leg up like you were going to fart. And then you said, I presented my A and I thought you were going to say anus.
Well, that's more relevant than you might even understand, Dan, because... During
the Arachnid Nebula.
During the telling of that story on the podcast, I that was a very charming story. And then you mentioned something about where's the tattoo? Do you have a tattoo of a tribble? And I was like, I have a tattoo of a tribble on my anus. Okay.
It looks delicious.
I bet it does.
On
now,
your anus.
That's obviously a joke. I don't have anything tattooed on
That's good to hear.
My
you don't
anus.
Have anything tattooed on your anus?
Not currently. So that's the context, and now here officially is the comment from Kara. Kara states, the part about the kiddos' concert was charming, and then the triple tattoo comment to wrap it up just encapsulates what the vibe of this whole podcast is about. Y'all are so unserious, and I love it.
Thanks, Agamus. Okay.
I hope you understand why I provided some context there.
Thanks for the message.
Thank you, Kara.
Yeah, man.
All right. Wait, when did you share all this information that she would have heard it?
This was on the episode where we discussed the Schizoid Man, Remember that's the dude and the Data?
Yeah, I remember what the fucking episode is, yeah. Okay. I just don't remember you talking about that.
Well,
Remember vaguely, but I don't remember all the details. Did we discuss the name of the composer in that episode?
We may have, and I know the audience has to understand this is hilarious because Jesse is seriously, he's going to be distracted until he figures out the fellow's name. And I'm sad that I don't remember, but Jesse,
there's some records I can look up on the internet.
No. All right. And then finally, Emmanuel, our old friend Emmanuel.
Hi.
He sent us an email and it references our discussion of DS9's fascination, which we discussed prior to last week's episode. So it was 2 weeks ago. And unfortunately, our vacation schedule made our recording schedule a little weird. So that email came in like after we discussed Fascination. So, very briefly, here we go. This is, and the context will just be provided along the way. Okay. Dan's doing an excellent job of speeding things along here. Emmanuel says,
yikes.
Ahoy, evidence, I'm not jokingly, and holograms.
Evidence!
I'm not jokingly.
Holograms?
And by the way, he spelled holograms like capital H-O-L-O, lowercase G-R-A-M-S. Holograms? To accurately, you know, holograms? Okay.
Holograms?
To continue. A few notes from last week's episode, which I guess would have been... Oh, no, that's Fascination. Yeah, that's right. I think I got it right. The Fried Green Tomatoes book, movie, and food joke was Manjula's, not Apu's, though he does set up the joke. Thank you for the clarification. We could not quite
remember.
Thanks, Agamus!
Further.
Oh, he's got more.
Julian's bear was named Kukalaka. In fact, the changeling Bashir may have been the one who broke up and left Kukalaka with Lita. You know, go watch Deep Space Nine. That'll make more sense. Tylenol is named Panadol in Australia. Emmanuel's from Australia. That's related to a discussion where we call Tylenol's the brand name. It's the chemical name is acetaminophen in the U.S. In most other places, it's paracetamol. But apparently in Australia, it's Panadol.
Panadol.
Learn something new.
Emmanuel, I need that every day. Anything else?
Is it called Damn It All?
Emmanuel goes on to say, Dan's bonus sound was that scene where Sisko sticks a Q-tip in his ear. And then he has 1/10 of a standard orgasm, which is the medium amount of orgasm, median amount of orgasm you can have when sticking a Q-tip in your ear.
Whoa. And well measured, sir.
Q-tips are hilarious because everyone uses them for the one thing the box says not to fucking use them for. Mm-hmm. The box is like, no, don't put it in your ear. It's not for your ear. It's for like other shit.
Well, I mean, don't stick it all the way in. Just rub around the outside. Yeah.
Or, you know, if you're real careful, you can stick it all the way in.
Well,
so if you're real careful, you're just like a little drunk.
Does Emmanuel have anything else to say?
Dan is right about beats usually being in fours.
Yep.
Most Daft Punk songs, this is interesting evidence, by the way, most Daft Punk songs have four repetitions before the song adds to the chorus or main beat.
That's how it's dance music.
I'll point out.
He's full of a lot of good information.
Well, because he's agreeing with you so far. I will point out.
No, I'm saying he's got a lot of facts that he's presenting.
Yeah, yes. But
I'm not just saying that because he likes what I said.
Emmanuel knows his shit. You know, what are you going to say? I wasn't arguing anything about these being in fours or something. I was just teasing Dan because, you know, sometimes he just plays a couple measures extra.
An old Dan would have liked it because it agreed with me, but I'm being different today. Like it for a different reason. And right now, that was an attempt to press my buttons, what you just said about like how I pressed it for a few measures too long, because we've already established that I played it around four times. And when I play it around four times, you then declare it to be too many times. When we just agreed that four times is the right amount of times, but then you, on top of that, said I play it too many times. So it's impossible for me to play it the correct amount of times and too many times simultaneously. You were being purposefully incongruous to try and push my buttons. And a different Dan is not going to take that bait.
Because you're different.
I'm different. This week I'm different. Right. Next week it's back to normal.
All right. Well, looking forward to that. Yeah. Emmanuel goes on to say in capital letters, justice for Tuvix. I don't recall the reference there, but I'm sure it makes sense.
Oh, it's because we were talking about the Vulcan Favonid and the Orchid being blended together in alliances and comparing it to Tuvix was also in that same season.
Good. Yeah. Good.
Well, good.
That was a point that I
Of course.
Good, Dan.
Yeah.
And
I see.
He concludes the email by stating, please use this information for the betterment of humanity. I implore thine podcasters three and this week's WTHHIHTB is unknown because you didn't have one. But I'm going to guess that if you had played something, it would be Dr. Janice Lester in Kirk's body in the episode Turnabout Intruder. Kukalaka! That's how he signs off on the email.
Thanks for the message.
Thank you, Emmanuel. Other folks who would like to get in contact with us, it's feedback at itsgotstartrek.com and or at itsgotstartrek on the various social medias.
You get a haiku.
Okay.
Wait a second.
You get a sound and then...
That's the sound.
Yeah. The bonus sound. Yeah. Was he right about that? Because he said it
was... At what point in Star Trek does Sisko stick a Q-tip in his ear?
Oh, you know, you're right. It was obviously a joke. Because he was talking about Q-tips and orgasms.
What it actually was...
It's so funny, and my brain was like, you know...
What it actually was is this is when Dax sneaks up behind him and pitches him on the butt. Mm. Because she's in love mode.
In fascination.
So here. You can hear him like... No. He gets pinched on the butt by a Dax.
No. That was too many times, Dan. I bet she pinches really hard.
Bet she does. She's got them Dax hands.
For real, dude.
We will
certainly
Dax hands.
We will not explore that further. Certainly not this week.
Okay, we are literally halfway through the episode, and we have not started talking about it yet.
Amen. Admiral Johnny Archer.
That's not possible.
Well, I think in beta canon, John Archer eventually becomes an admiral and then president of the Federation.
Fuck it,
president.
I think he's the first president.
And then, was it Kirk like kills his dog or something?
No.
Yeah, that's in the alternate universe track, alternate timeline. The Abrams timeline.
Was it Kirk that killed him?
Yeah, Kirk like accidentally crashed his ship into Porthos or something.
But Kirk comes so much later.
Wow, dude.
Kirk is in the Abrams Star Trek movie.
Yes, but Jonathan Archer isn't. So how would Kirk be old enough? Like it's 150 years before.
Yeah.
You're right that there's some joke somewhere about Porthos getting accidentally like beamed into space or some horrible thing.
Oh my goodness.
Why can't I fucking remember where that joke is from?
I don't know.
Because you're right that joke exists in Star Trek.
Yeah, it does.
Feedback at itsgotstartrek.com. Subject line, you guys are old and stupid.
I had high hopes when I was a kid.
I liked that the sting of this teaser, if I'm using that term correctly,
teaser.
The sting of this teaser is that there's a Vulcan acting a little weird. And in the context of...
Teaser? Did you call it a teaser?
Yes, that's correct, right?
It's a cold open.
I thought it was a cold open.
Do we really have to? Are you doing it on purpose now?
No.
You are doing this on purpose now. Every single time you call it a teaser, and every time I correct you, and you're like... I always said cold open, but you said it was teaser. I think you're fucking with me.
Cold open. To me, it's just funny to think about the context of this part of the Star Trek fandom timeline. Star Trek's been on since 1987. So it was perfectly reasonable to have a cold open where the big hit at the end, the big hit before the introduction is like, oh shit, those Vulcans are all like weird and shit. Fuck, this episode's right. gonna be whack.
Who needs space creeps?
But when you watch a little out of space context, creeps.
They don't have Neelix in the show. You're just saying that. But now you're just saying that.
Who needs him if you got this guy?
You're just saying that. Now you're just you're preventing me from being different, Jesse.
This episode I'm totally.
You're saying things that cause me to revert to my old ways. And I blame you for this.
This episode definitely has a space creep.
And I blame you.
Okay.
Anyway, that was a funny thing. It was a funny vibe I got
first
off of it. Because nowadays you wouldn't necessarily be like, oh, weird
first
Vulcans.
First of all, the cold open was 1:34. So by unusual fashion, Enterprise has a short cold open. And not as short as the
which one?
The Beauty and the Beast episode.
Yes.
Unions, far-fetched telepathy. ding dongs. Dim dungeon. Dim sum dungeon.
We're just gonna
exile. I got it after I said dim sum dungeon.
Dim sum dungeon.
I was all excited to. Move.
I want to eat at the dim sum dungeon.
I was all excited to move past the dim sum dungeon.
Can we go there for lunch?
And we did. When you were like exile, you were like, I got it because like after I said dim sum dungeon, that's how I got it.
But it wasn't. You're
don't
right.
eat the green beans.
It wasn't Kirk, but it actually doesn't make it much better because apparently it was Montgomery Scott.
That is weird. Was he very? Yeah. Well, in the normal canon, Montgomery Scott is much older than Kirk. In the Strange New Worlds canon, one of the weird changes they've made. Great actor, great character, but clearly much younger, more contemporary.
Contemporary
with. The other
contemporary
characters.
Chicken with French fries, please. Rotisserie.
Is that from India or Britain?
What
contemporary chicken with fries? It's a callback.
Yeah.
To what?
It's an unnecessary. To this fucking episode that we're doing.
I was making a callback to rotisserie chicken.
Yeah. Well, yes, of course.
Whenever the Vulcans show up, Archer gets all pissed off. Like when they found out it was a Vulcan signal, he was all like,
"Right." It's like somebody was like, "I don't recognize that ship."
Let us have fucking warp 5.
Those Vulcans, they really let their ship go. First of all, they just had nothing to keep it up. It's an old, broken down ship. Trip Tucker III said he said he's never seen an engine this far gone. Mm-hmm. And there were no women on their ship. Why was there no women on their ship? Do Vulcans generally have fewer women, or are women too sensible to be Vatash Kanar or whatever? Couture. Vatash Couture.
This.
Why was it such a dude ship?
This episode, the series was produced by Brandon Braga.
Yeah, but Cove said was even like, you have a lot of women on this ship.
Yeah. Which one? Cove is the...
He was the good one.
The engineer?
He was the good one whose dad hated him.
The pudgy, nerdy... And don't say... You know. I know you didn't mean it this way, but...
What?
When talking about a group of people, referencing one of them being the good one could be misinterpreted. People oughtn't do that in this case. Because you did not mean... he's okay. Sammy Davis Jr.? One of the good ones. You know what I'm saying?
I wasn't even thinking that.
God, I wish we were on YouTube.
I wasn't even thinking that.
It'd be so great to have that, the thing you just did with your face recorded.
By the good one, I meant that Talaris was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
The other guy, undecided. But Talaris was a piece of shit.
I my point is, I think they just weren't, why would they hire extra women and have a female perspective.
Now, do you think that do you think that Cove said they put the line in where Cove said there are a lot of women on your ship as they were poking fun at themselves because they didn't hire any women to be Vulcans?
Until just now, I hadn't really thought about it.
Now you have.
And now that I'm
mind meld.
Okay, there's rule of threes. And then there's four measures. Let's see what happens.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Now,
you're just trying to press my buttons.
Now
you have.
Now that I've thought about it. Okay.
Where would I stay?
Now you have.
Now you have.
Okay, let's do it.
This is a terrible episode.
No. So here's
it's the best.
No, I'm saying I'm not saying the Star Trek episode is terrible. I'm saying we're making a terrible podcast
right now.
I'm saying it's
the best.
You know that whole, you know the
you say, "Oh yeah, well I say hello, you say goodbye," or whatever they said in that song.
We're going to get a copyright strike.
Oh no. Fuck. I say shmello and you say schmudge my. I saved us.
Schmudge better.
Schmudge better.
I saved us. You know the whole, you know that old term of your comedian's comedian?
Yeah.
The podcast we're making today is a podcaster's podcast.
You mean sex.
Well, I hope you'll tell all your friends.
The podcasters
set the record straight.
Listening are thoroughly enjoying this. The people who erroneously believe they were tuning in to coherent, insightful discussion of a fairly interesting approach to Vulcan culture. We're
stretching it out like taffy.
I forgot how I started, so I don't remember how to end the sentence in a
Starfleet's finest.
I like to be grammatically correct, and I just lost track of that. So
yeah,
okay. But my reaction to your pointing that out, Dan, is that it's actually super interesting and hilarious because since the story centers in part on this piece of shit, obviously creepy dude from the first time you see him in his ill-fitting blue shirt.
Yeah.
Like,
listen to how he says this.
Pleasing.
That's rapist.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All the way. And he was like, eating with a fork like that. He was all like,
"That's rapist fork."
Yeah.
Rapist face. Rapist shirt.
Yeah. Wait. What about
S creep?
What about when he says
pizza?
Yeah. Oh no. When he said pizza, man, I was like, no. "How are you not calling the fucking feds?" Yeah. Or
Commander Tucker suggested I try something called pizza.
That's when you find like the blue phone on the internet.
Pleasing.
So where was I? Women.
Women.
It's
they're not people. They're women. That was from Schizoid Man.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
It helps that there are no women on the ship because it would confuse maybe the story because maybe that guy would he have been abusing? One would presume he may have abused.
No, because they would have all done the mind meld already.
But at least it's
because they'd be Vatash Couture too.
It's an uninvestigated thread.
But the reason,
but he's a piece of shit, dude. My point is, even if they're like, "Hey, I'm cool with this," doing things that they're not.
Here's his deal. Here's the situation.
Yes.
He's Vatash Couture.
Yes.
He like gets off on emotions. He likes emotions. They're great. But like someone who's done like heroin a bunch, right? He's chasing that dragon, that emotional dragon. He can't get that emotional high anymore. So what he does is he mind melds with T'Pol, who's never really experienced that emotions. And through her, he experiences her emotions for the first time through her. Mm-hmm. So it's like he's experiencing emotions for the first time because he's experiencing it as she experiences it. On his own, he can no longer get the same gratification from emotions. But if he taps into her perspective through a mind meld, since she's feeling it for the first time, he is also feeling it for the first time. So that's why it works with her. It would not work with another person on a ship, male or female, because presumably they have experienced emotions as well, and he would not be able to get that same high. He needs like a virginal brain.
I think that your headcanon explanation is really good, and that's fine for me, and it works for me. But
it's a little condescending.
No, I certainly did not.
I mean, no, because you're just like, that totally makes sense, but you're wrong.
No, I don't think you're wrong. I'm saying I'm appreciating.
You can watch what's happening during the whole thing. That's why he didn't want to break it off. That's why he was getting frustrated at first when she was like, "It's not working." Mm-hmm. You could see him getting frustrated. He's like, "Relax," but you could see he got really frustrated because he's like, he really wants that high.
Yeah, I'm appreciative of you.
Condescending part.
When you let me finish, you'll agree that it is not condescending because I am.
Proceed.
I am indeed agreeing with you. I just don't think. I think that's a good version of an explanation that you have provided as an audience member that's not necessarily in the text.
I think it
because they avoided the question by sneakily hiding the female characters on that show.
I think that was what was directly presented by the imagery we were given. The fact that he didn't want to stop. The fact that he was getting frustrated when she couldn't do it at first because he really wanted... Like, why else would he be so eager?
Because he's rapist. Because that's what he gets off
of. I know he's a rapist, but I'm saying, what is the part he's getting pleasure from? But he's getting pleasure from the fact that she's experiencing emotions for the first time.
All these things I agree with. I'm just...
So which part do you not agree with what I'm saying?
I think you may have forgotten what the original question was, which was whether or not he did this to other people on his own ship.
Well,
and I'm saying that we don't even get to consider that cleverly by the producers. The point you ate earlier has intrigued me because I think they purposely didn't show women on that ship to avoid evoking that idea.
But I'm saying it's not even male or female is irrelevant. It has nothing to do with her being male or female. I'm saying that has nothing to do with it. It's simply somebody who has not experienced emotions for the first time. And everyone on the ship would have already presumably experienced emotions.
Excellent point. However, add to that point, I agree with that, and it's adjusted my view somewhat, but I will add to that.
That it's time to take a break.
It is time to take a break.
Stop!
But what I was going to add to that was that it still serves the purposes of the producers to put the focus on, since it is a rape analogy, certainly, on T'Pol by not having other female characters. It worked on me because I did not make that observation of the absence of the female Vulcans on their ship, which one would presume are there. Is that Jesse or?
No, it's me because I'm being different.
Oh, what? Okay.
See, I made that noise. Usually it's Jesse who makes that noise.
For the listeners at home, I'm quite confused. Okay. So we'll talk more about like rape and other shit when we get back. We will be right back.
Sorry to keep you.
And we're back.
Wanda.
I'm sorry?
Make sure I was ready.
Please. Go ahead.
Proceed.
Ready.
Let's do it.
Ready.
Excellent.
I'm different.
Ready to.
I'm Dan, and I'm different this week. Can't you tell?
You're the same, goddammit.
No, I said I'm different, which means I'm different.
The Vulcans this week are a little bit different.
They are different.
They are different Vulcans. How many vegetarians? How many emotional Vulcan Star Trek episodes have there been in general?
I don't know, because sometimes those guys get really steamed up.
There's a few times Spock is under the influence of something.
Is Vitash Couture like a this episode, limited to this episode? Is that concept?
I believe that specific name, the concept of Vulcans either being trying to move away from logic, or alternatively, there have been multiple times where there's Vulcans that are like hyper into even more logic. Right. They think regular Vulcans are like super lame with logic.
But then sometimes
they played with both.
But every
sides
once
of that
in a while, they go through a puberty that puts them into mega emotions, right?
You're referring to the old Ponfar. Yeah,
doesn't that happen?
It's not a puberty
times?
Quite. It's that 7 year.
Well, I thought there was something they compared it to, like adolescence or something.
Yeah, but it happens every 7 years.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it's a form of like growth or something. But
that has also been somewhat inconsistent in Star Trek. Sometimes they suggest, as they even kind of suggest here, is that the male Vulcans can only have sex every 7 years. Weird. Other times they're like, no, it's like they can totally bone all the time, but every 7 years they got.
Well, in this episode, Kov, I forget how you pronounce it. Anyway, he was saying, talking about, it's funny when they were when he was eating lunch or whatever with Trip Tucker the Third, they were all like talking, and then he goes like,
"Ah, you mean sex?" Yes.
And then like not 1 minute later, Malcolm shows up. He's like, "Hello," he's like, "Hey, can I? What you guys talking about?" You know.
And both Trip and Cove are kind of creeped out a little bit by
fucking Malcolm. But
I was like, "Seconds? I've had enough."
Yeah, I like that because he's like the implication is Trip is like, "You're kind of pudgy. Yeah. I figure you like to eat food. You want some extra food?" And the Vulcan is like,
No, I'm good.
Like I've eaten an adequate amount of nutrients.
So, in that conversation, though, he was saying that the Vulcans have sex every 7 years. That their sexual cycle,
males
their mating cycle, male mating cycle.
They were clear. It was males.
Yes, every 7 years. But he specifically said that they are working to shorten that time, mm-hmm. which would imply that they yeah. have they have to yes. they have to wait 7 yes. years. And, they're incapable yes. of doing it otherwise.
Precisely. Yes,
that's what that would imply. That's now weird. I feel
that's what they say in this episode. There are other parts yeah. of Star Trek yeah. where
like Strange New World
where they suggest otherwise. In this episode, it was particularly interesting that they kept hammering the point that he was only referring to males and saying like that's only a yeah. male thing. They never mentioned anything on TOS about chicks. So chicks. So T'Pol's going to be down.
Yeah.
The producers were making it clear that T'Pol didn't need to do any like weird ritual shit in order to be down to clown because
gladly
unfortunately
things are flowing.
That was one of the major concerns in I suppose often remains that way is titillation
so yes, okay so
I think they I'm of the opinion both male female and all other types of Vulcans can fuck whenever they want
so
but that the males have to fuck every 7 years that's my head
they just have to have like a big one
yeah
so now I feel like there has to have been because T'Pol was saying other Vulcans have tried to like work with emotions. It's never worked. And I can't think of another episode of Star Trek where there were Vulcans groups that tried to do it, but I'm sure there were other episodes.
There's the largest example. They didn't call him out by name because this is pre-contact. The Romulans. The Romulans left after Surok's business. The Romulans were like, this Surok asshole's not letting us... fucking do all this and eat all this crazy spicy stuff.
But that's not exactly what I... That's not...
We gotta have secrets and shit.
Even that's a. I know it's not different, but it kind of is different.
What about Star Trek Section 31 movie? There was that Irish, that offensive Irish accented.
Anyways, by the end of this episode, we hadn't learned really if Vulcans getting emotions was bad or good. What we learned is that for some Vulcans, it's bad. For some Vulcans, it's fine. Mm. For T'Laris, very bad. Mm-hmm. For Cove, just fine. So, just like humans, Vulcans can have emotions. We didn't really accomplish anything.
And
also, it's interesting, like, and I guess there's really, this episode wasn't about this, and there wasn't probably not enough time to put this in, but I can't help but think about, like, what is the rest of the crew of the what is that ship called the Voklis?
I believe yeah, that's right.
So
yeah.
we never find. I can't help but wonder, like, what does the rest of the crew of the Voklis think about T'Laris's actions and the fact that they got not only did they get kicked off because he was an asshole, but the fact that he was a total rapist asshole, like. I wonder if he's going to get kicked out of that order. What's going to happen?
How
to
are
him?
They going to explore
it? Was
and it was so pretentious. That's such a pretentious thing. I know it's like we're
exploring the galaxy.
We're explorers. No. We are explorers. We explore ourselves.
Explore ourselves.
That dude.
With our hands.
That dude. And by the way, let me preface this statement I'm about to make by saying I am not intending to demean or insult this particular activity. I think it's a fantastic activity. I'm just for the purposes of humor and to make a small point. I think that guy who was all into the chicken, that kind of main guy, he's the type of guy. You're right, he's pretentious, but he's the type of guy that for him exploring himself is bending way over in the mirror,
checking out his asshole
and he's got one of them camera, you know, because they don't have smartphones, so whatever, like you know, holographic, whatever. Yeah. And he's like
hologram.
He's like looking at his butt and like pushing his. Like trying to make his penis look like as long as it can, and he's just kind of.
He's my number one dad.
He's like, what's the deal with that? So
what's the deal with that?
What's the deal with that?
So yeah, we didn't learn like really.
It was not explored at all.
The only thing that we kind of got out of this episode was that Archer and T'Pol actually, and this was sort of like a throwaway almost, but like at the very last scene, it's almost like Archer and T'Pol got a little closer as a result of this episode. Because Archer kind of understands now more why she's trying to keep her shit so strict and in check. And then she was like relating with him about the dream. She was like, I envy you about like having dreams. And then Archer was like trying to think of something to say. He's like, shit.
Archer's like, I always have good dreams. Like, who is this guy?
Yeah,
he says. Sometimes they're in color.
Yeah. I mean, cool. That's cool. I have dreams of color, but like they're not good.
He doesn't he didn't say they're always. What, do you only have bad dreams, Jesse?
Well, not only, but they're not like good. They're just like bizarre and like troubling.
If they had a scene that was cut where she asks Hoshi about Hoshi's dreams, and Hoshi's like, "I smoke way too much weed to dream."
All he said, Jesse,
well, I'm sure I dream. Part, I just I don't remember it. Deal,
but, yeah. He says it's enjoyable most nights. And I would say dreaming is fine most nights for me. Like, do you have a problem with nightmares, Jesse?
Yes.
Okay. So the question, I don't think
it's Jesse, better when I don't drink.
I think the question,
Jesse's diagnosis will be revealed on next week's
I don't think
thrilling episode of It's Got Star Trek.
I don't think the question is who is this Archer guy to be having pleasant dreams? I'm like, who is this Jesse guy who's like lives a nightmare every night?
Yeah, good point, sir.
Lives I don't mean a nightmare. I don't mean
that's a different podcast.
But
Got Star Trek after dark.
But like you can tell he wants to say something, but it's fucked up because it's like Talaris like ruined dreaming for T'Pol. Do you think because the next day after Talaris like, you know, dream raped her, like she came in and it was all fucked up. He was all sleazy the next morning. He's like pretending he didn't know. He's like, did you do the thing? It's like, yeah, you did the thing. Like he was presenting it as if it was scientific exploration, but really he just wanted her to be down so he could like take advantage of her. Uh-huh. And then she was saying to Phlox, she goes, you know, it was unsettling. Yeah. It fucked up. It sucked. Yeah. Now, and I'm wondering, was it it was, of course, unsettling because of what he was doing. But do you think that dreaming for Vulcans normally is like kind of hard to deal with because they're like so used to being in control?
It's a thing that they just introduced in this episode. Yeah. As far as I recall, I don't think that's a new thing. I would have enjoyed exploring that a little bit more. I think they might have done that for, it's a classic, let's just write it this way because there's nothing in the lore that contradicts it and it lets us tell this interesting story, right? So, and I'm fine with that. It's not such a big deal. But a couple points.
Because I'm sorry to interrupt, but like she is going to keep meditating, right? She's going to keep meditating because of this one bad experience with dreaming. And so I'm just thinking like, that sucks. Like, was it possible that maybe she could have had good dreams and Talaris just ruined everything for her? I mean, you can tell her emotional side is taking over at the end because when she says, is the Vakla still here? And he's like, no, they're gone. No, Archer goes, How do you feel better? And she's like, is the Vakla's gone? And he's like, yes, they're gone. And she's like, then I feel better. Yes. That is an emotional response because they know Talaris' deal at this point. Even if he was on the ship, he's not doing any more damage to her. So in her mind, she just feels better that they're gone. Understandably so. I would be in the same thing. But that is purely an emotional feeling when she's not really in any more danger, whether they're there or not. Even though it's perfectly understandable she'd feel that way, her emotions are like when she said, like, it is, I cannot be offended. Mm-hmm. She was like, Talaris during the meal was like, I'm sorry if I offended you. And she's like, I'm incapable of taking offense.
I have that right here in my notes.
That's bullshit.
Yeah. It's both a joke and bullshit. And I will add in the whole, this is my opinion. I think many people share
when you say it's a joke,
Vulcans,
what do you mean?
I mean, it like the I am not capable of feeling offense is kind of maybe it's not a joke. I think maybe it's a meta joke.
I'm not capable of feeling offense.
I think because they know the audience will know, just like they knew the audience would think it's weird that Vulcan was all chill and smiling at the beginning of the episode, so it like primes the audience to be like, what weird shit's going down here?
It's because he ate chicken.
I think the audience knows that when a Vulcan says I'm not capable of offense, a longtime Star Trek fan will giggle at that because we know that Vulcans have always been to some degree or another full of shit of like how quote unquote emotionless they're often bitter or annoying
I would say it's more in the premise of Vulcans where they say we used to be emotional and it was fucked up so we learned how to repress our emotions. That means you are totally capable of feeling emotion. In fact, you have to put effort into suppressing them.
And all I'm trying to verbalize or articulate might be a better way to put it.
Verbalize my articulation
is that
as a trombone player, I'm always articulating. even though my slide doesn't articulate like a trumpet's valve, my mouth is articulating on the mouthpiece.
It's not always been particularly overt in the text of Star Trek, but
relax.
It's certain. Don't do it when you want to get to it. Relax.
I envy you.
Don't do it when you want to come.
You're probably right.
That song is suggesting. It's providing a somewhat useless tip about avoiding premature ejaculation.
Yeah. You're probably right.
Okay. Star Trek.
Do you like the taste?
Spock, yeah. After the cage, Spock's whole gag on TOS was Vulcans are super smart and logical, blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
But we are not meant to take that as actually being 100% true. Spock might think that. Other Vulcans might think that. But we know from what happens in the various tales, the various stories told even on TOS, especially on TOS, part of the gag was McCoy is the super emotional person and says this. Spock is the super logical person and says this. But Kirk is the one.
Kirk is a jerk.
Who unifies, combines the value of both, suggesting that Spock and Vulcans are lacking in X-ray. The joke being that,
yes.
That Vulcans say a lot of shit that's not 100% true, because Spock was often getting bitter or annoyed at McCoy or whatever, obviously, but he would just be like, you're just being illogical, but I'm not annoyed about it. Remember when Sisko there's that like whole like the Vulcan ship that plays baseball, and they play baseball right. against Sisko, and that Vulcan is straight up like, God fucking damn it. You know, they got like
he's a piece of work.
They got all these crazy people on this.
Would you say Doug the Vulcan was emotional? He just really liked
Doug pop.
He just liked human pop culture.
Doug, which one was Doug?
He was from Strange New Worlds by Patton Oswalt.
Oh yeah. Right. I like that. That was good. I mean, that episode.
That's right.
Problematic episode. But I like
Doug was fun.
Doug was
with Una.
Well, yeah. There you go. There's another example of a Vulcan, at least somewhat exploring their emotional side.
Those are more though interpretive, and I don't disagree with you, because I've noticed the same thing. But those are more like you could argue out of that one and say like, no, he was just being logical about blah blah blah. You know, even though it doesn't, you could argue that that's just like the writers fucked up or something.
You could.
I don't know.
I agree.
Archer, I liked how Archer did like the most like confusing ass shit to like knock Talaris off balance at the very end, when he was like, hey, how's it going? How's that survey coming along? You know? And the guy Talaris is like, we'll be done this afternoon. He's like, that's great news. Yeah. And it's funny because he's not saying it's great as in job well done. He's saying like great as in like the sooner you're off the ship, the better. But he's all like, you want some coffee or something? Yeah. And then he like turns on a dime and is like, you know damn well what you fucking
right. So he's like, get on your merry way.
And he didn't say that by accident, because like they're basically a bunch of like, you know, like
right,
like they're a bunch
Robin
of like
Robin Hood thieves,
space bandits.
They're like, well, they're all like a merry group of let's explore ourselves and have fun and frivolous with our emotions and
space
things.
Creeps.
You know, it's like we're hopping around space
hippies.
We're hopping around space, being all like yay, yay, hoopity doo. We're having so much fun with ourselves. So they're a bunch of merry. You know, they're like yeah, with my emotions. Let's abandon our planet, and we're not gonna get anything done. We're not gonna fix our ship. We're just gonna go around the universe,
right.
And we're gonna be like, what does this feel like?
That's
what does
how
that
the
feel
universe
like
works.
Oh, we feel so many things. We're explorers of ourselves, you
okay.
know.
Jesse, you and I, occasionally it's important that we remind ourselves of the value, the special bonus value you and I specifically get sitting here live with this gentleman over here, Dan.
Yes.
Because we don't record this for YouTube, we don't record video for any reason. You all just missed out on a grand physical performance that went along with that entire description Dan provided.
Someday.
That's unlikely.
The motions he was making with his hands, arms, hips, other bits
my
of
hips.
His body.
I felt in my hips.
they were helpful. They really aided and supported understanding
hip.
The point he was making, though
I'd rather not discuss them.
I have no doubt you at home all understand it very clearly, because he also verbally articulated it excellently. Good job.
No problem.
Great.
Yes.
Okay. But what I was going to say is that in my notes here, it's written as Archer did that old trick that my dad did to me once. So
he came at you all nice and then he fucked you over.
Yeah, it was one of those weird things where it was like my dad came into my room. He like sat on my bed. He's like, hey, so how's it going? I was like, it's going all right. He's like, cool. Like anything interesting going on? You know, it was like, eventually he was like, so what'd you get up to today? I was like, not much. He's like, so what's your first period class again? And goes down the line until it gets to the class that I had skipped that day because we skipped class to go to the Smithsonian. You fucking nerds. And they had called my dad and he got all pissed off. He was like, don't skip class. He was just like, what are you doing? Don't skip class. You know, he was mad at me for skipping class. It was not something I wasn't normally a truant. But but yeah, I skipped class with a few other people to go.
Did you get on the subway?
I think we did. Wait,
what did you see at the Smithsonian?
Well, we went to multiple Smithsonians. We went to the Air and Space Museum.
Hell yeah.
We went to the American History
Museum. It's the Air and Space Museum.
It took me way too long to realize it
was. Did you go to the Natural History
Museum? Yes.
That's a good one.
Briefly. I
mean, good stuff.
We looked
there.
At the elephant and a couple things. I think we didn't go too deep into that one. Air and Space mostly. Corcoran.
Oh, yeah. Part. Yeah. That's a good one too.
But anyway, that's the kind of thing that ne'er-do-wells get up to in the...
skip school and go to a museum in D.C.
Yeah, Washington, D.C.
He must have forgiven you a little bit because you did something like that.
No, not that time. Another time I skipped... I skipped basically all day school, but I skipped school to go play golf. And my father is an avid golfer, and no joke, when I explained to him, I was like, we just wanted to go play some golf. It was towards the end of the year. He was like, no big deal.
So... Archer is lucky that Talaris, when he threw him, threw him right towards his phaser gun.
Yeah. Because
he threw him across the room into the one place where his phaser was exactly like right next to him.
Yeah.
Like that was
a small room.
Yeah, but I mean he could have thrown him in many different directions that were out of arm's length of, and it wasn't even just in arm's length, it was right there, hidden behind something. He was just like juke.
It was still cool, though.
It was cool. Yeah.
Even, what's the Vulcan's name? The rapey Vulcan's
Talaris.
Name? Talaris. Even Talaris was like, all right, that was pretty cool. I can feel the emotion of cool. And that was pretty cool.
I want to know where they got that jazz music for the dream sequence.
It freaked me out.
Yeah, I want to know if they were...
It made me uncomfortable.
I want to know...
I didn't like it either.
No. I want to know if they like recorded that for the show or if they pulled it out of the archives somewhere. I don't know.
That's a good question.
We
may have been able to figure that out through some sort of rudimentary research.
The mind meld. Okay.
But we don't do that shit.
So this is the canonical introduction of the mind meld.
Okay.
Are we to believe that the mind meld was brought back into the Vulcan zeitgeist by these Vatash Kators?
Yes. Okay. Let me, I have a few connected points to make here. So, point number one.
You're stupid.
This also.
I'm not stupid, Patrick.
This also.
You're stupid.
This also, that would have worked better if your impersonation sounded anything like me.
My name is Patrick, and I think you're stupid.
That was better.
My name is Dave.
That's pretty good.
Which one of you said that? Which one of you? What the fuck?
I don't know.
Nobody knows.
I don't know.
It's slick, baby.
This also relates to some of your earlier points in that this is not the end of this storyline. They continue this storyline. This is a season one episode. This storyline, or at least
come back later.
Yes, there's bits and pieces of this storyline are addressed
in
multiple future episodes.
Do we find out what happens to Talaris and the rest of his crew?
I can't quite recall that, but
I can't quite.
Your question about the mind meld is appropriate because that comes back in a big way. In terms of the discussion of what the deal is with mind melds, what the effect of Talaris's forced mind meld onto Paul had. They do some analogies for things that are maybe a little bit problematic.
Well, wait.
still interesting to discuss.
Wait, so these people, these Vataj Couture, they don't come back, but I do, but T'Pol does explore the mind meld more.
There's mind more mind meld.
But there's
stuff.
No more of these Vataj Couture people.
I don't recall how specifically they are or are not mentioned.
I think I do now remember that T'Pol like re-explores this whole mind meld situation.
I suspect there's a reference to this, these events, because these events do directly relate to a few future storylines, which we will not spoil. But so there's that's
not yet.
I can't recall. I probably called that point number one. Is that this is going to be something that continues in the future? Point number two. I can't quite recall what point number two is going to be. But
in a provoline.
I did have in my notes.
In a provolone?
So point number three is in a provolone. Yeah, it doesn't sound like some sort of like a cool new Italian cheese.
Right.
Hey, get me a slice with the pep and a little in a provoline.
In a provoline?
In a provoline.
Just cover it in a fucking in a provoline. Yeah. Fuck that hot honey shit. I want the in a provoline pizza.
Well, it's I think it's spelled I-N-A-P-R-O-V-A-L-I-N-E, mm-hmm. but the closed caption spelled it I-N-O-P-R-O-V-A-L-E-N-E.
Reference previous discussions throughout the 345 earlier episodes of It's Got Star Trek. A few times in that period of episodes, we have discussed the sadness that it's harder and harder to trust the closed captions, depending on source and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
I thought it was so cute when Archer finds out that he gets to correct his favorite astronomy book, because they found out that Nebula was 8 billion light years wide.
Super excited.
Yeah. He was so hyped about that.
It was such a cool, nerdy, awesome thing.
It was cute.
Archer can be an asshole, but he's still like a cool nerd type. He's just like a little bit too meh. Maybe it's the water polo. He probably got hit in the head with a water polo ball and it fucked him up.
Well, and I really liked how they Trip Tucker the Third convinced Cove to like talk to his dad, because he related it to like a personal situation, but it really fit with the episode, mm-hmm. because he's like, you guys are exploring emotion, you're gonna discover this fucked up shit called regret, and you don't know about regret until you get it, and it's too late, and it fucks with you for the rest of your life.
I
thought that was really like really tied in with the episode and was like good advice he gave.
That Trip advice was great.
Yeah.
What do y'all think about the other thing Trip talked about? Being around your own kind.
Oh, yeah.
Like, who doesn't?
Yeah, who doesn't like
own? And he all like leaned into Archer and kind of winked a little bit, and it was all like, their own kind.
You sure you're making the right decision?
Not those people.
Not those people. Okay, by the way, can you just tell me if I can fuck T'Pol? I am very subtly trying to find out. God damn it, Reed!
What's the deal?
Why are you sitting down here?
Fucking T'Pol.
Goddamn pineapple eater, Reed.
Pineapple?
Sorry, that sounded way worse.
Does he like pineapple cake? Dude. Isn't that his favorite?
Who doesn't like pineapple?
A lot of people don't like pineapple.
There's the episode where they find out he likes pineapple.
That's his favorite cake or something, right? Yeah. No, that's Malcolm Reed.
That's what I'm talking about. Reed.
You were talking about Trip Tucker the Third.
I was talking about. I switched to Reed. My character of Trip called Reed a pineapple eater.
You're a pineapple
eater. And so then I started referencing the episode where yes it is, that's I'm apologizing for saying the word pineapple eater because it sounds awful, and this is after I think last week I scolded Dan because Dan was coming up with some nonsense term to make an important point, and I got a little nervous and I commented that often when white people try to come up with a nonsense term, it wasn't in Dan's case, but I was worried because it often veers into accidental racism.
You're just trying to pin that shit on me when I had no intention or implication.
If there's any
you
sort of
throw
coconuts
that shit out there.
Or papayas.
I was projecting clearly.
You were, because I had nothing I said even remotely implied it, but then you threw it out there and made me look like an asshole.
But I was legitimately worried. I was thinking it's like the whole Nerf herder thing. You know the Nerf herder business?
Who's Scruffy?
Yeah. Scruffy Nerf herder. Family Guy did a big joke on that.
Yeah, they did.
Great.
They did do a joke on that. You're very right about that one thing.
We gotta end the show soon. No. So you wanna like, shall we wind up any points? I think, you know, like, The dude was a shady rapist. That sucks. I guess he didn't get in trouble. Although Archer was like, fuck you, man, which was cool. But like, it's also like, why didn't get in trouble? Phlox likes to party.
Phlox and T'Pol, once again, they're good buds.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I think we already mentioned, but yeah, Phlox was all
and
like,
when,
you should fucking tell
and when, yeah, when
you should fuck that dude.
And when, who?
Phlox was like, oh, you can do whatever you. He was saying that he was doing that whole gag where it's like, she's asking advice, and as an authority, his response was, oh, you know, you of course you should, you know, whatever, you know, you should fuck him.
Every like both.
Fuck him. I mean,
it didn't help that like Phlox was saying like, you know, you shouldn't. He said you shouldn't. Don't dismiss it unless exactly. he goes.
Maybe you shouldn't be so quick to dismiss it after one bad experience.
I think you're just repeating the same. You're providing evidence for the point I just made.
No,
evidence.
But that's in addition.
Fuck him.
No,
fuck
but
that Vulcan.
But
the,
but
with the blue shirt.
But that's in addition to what Archer already said.
Yeah,
because he said something similar.
Yes. Because Archer's all like, being human is cooler than being Vulcan.
Archer said something.
Yes. You seem to think that you have, do you have access to that quote?
I can't remember what the quote is. What was the quote? Oh, wait, here it is.
For all we know, they're onto something.
Yeah, so yeah. Both He's Archer.
Like, you all should change your culture.
So both Archer and Phlox are telling her that she needs to like get in a shady situation with T'Laris.
Which could be seen as a positive or negative, depending on your perspective.
Also, I like when T'Pol says this.
Just because they smile and eat chicken doesn't mean they've learned to master their emotions.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that's not exactly sarcasm, but that is kind of like a snide remark. A little bit too snide for what an emotionless species.
I mean, it's just chicken. Yeah. They're not eating cow.
Well, that's not the point I was focusing on.
Well, sure.
Jesse, that is not the point that Dan was focusing on.
Well, of course not.
I was focusing on...
of course not.
I was focusing on the fact that she was being so snarky about it. But, so just because they can poo on a dude doesn't mean they can snark on a bark. You know what I mean?
Yeah, baby.
We do need to shut things down.
I'll shut you down
shortly.
Oh,
but...
at the end, when Trip Tucker, like Cove's all like, thanks, Trip Tucker the third, and he's like, no problem, Cove. And he pats him on the shoulder.
Like, he's like, can you do the truffle shuffle?
No, he pats him on the shoulder, and Cove like all looks at his shoulder like, huh? I like that. What was that? That was weird. I like that. And then I like when Trip Tucker was
Vulcan boners are green.
They got green boners.
Y'all got green boners.
And when Trip Tucker the third was explaining his high school dance to the thing I was just talking about, how he convinced Cove to talk to his dad, he did a little shuffle jig.
Yeah,
I like the Trip Tucker shuffle jig.
I did like that. To return briefly to an earlier point about the mind melds, I think probably many other people thought when this aired that placing the reintroduction of the mind meld only 150 years before TOS is, it's like a little off, but it's also plausible. You know, you can imagine 150 years ago in our own cultures that attitudes about certain things would have been very different,
absolutely.
And things that are common now maybe would have been looked down upon in the past. So it's plausible. I think, you know, when you watch TOS, you kind of get the impression that this mind meld business was maybe not something the Vulcans like were super open about. I think they treated it very privately until later series. Spock certainly suggested
that. Spock was a
big
guy.
But I don't necessarily have a problem with it only having been reintroduced 150 years before, which is what they're doing here.
Sure.
Not necessarily.
There is, as I alluded to earlier.
That's not how people talk.
There's an episode that focuses more specifically on the reintroduction of the mind meld as a Vulcan practice later on Enterprise, the show Enterprise.
Believe. I also, the other thing about Cove, another time Cove was cute was when Trip Tucker told him, he's like, call me Trip. And Cove was all cute there too, because he was like, oh, I like that. He was like,
I think this is the best character of the whole episode.
Yeah. And also, Here's something weird. In this episode, Talar drinks that mint tea, and he's like, whoa, it's got a lot of flavor. He's like, it's too much flavor? Is like, Vulcans not like flavor or something?
Right. Well,
what about alliances when Tuvok had that Vulcan spiced tea?
Yeah.
Spiced tea implies Vulcan, flavor.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, but I think the Vulcan spiced tea is also supposed to be sort of a gag, because with Vulcan food, the gag has always been that it's very bland, and because it's illogical to be spicy or something,
but like, they have spiced tea.
Okay, yeah, is the mint
yeah,
tea?
I think it's a joke spice.
Is the mint tea just made out of mint leaves, or is it black tea flavored with mint?
I had that exact same question.
Different things.
I 100% had that exact same question because I was kind of hoping for the latter,
right? Exactly,
instead of the former,
because that's for real.
Just
tea.
Straight up mint tea. First of all,
minty. You said minty.
It is quite strong. I don't enjoy it as much. I've had that once or twice. But black tea.
Black
tea. If you go to the hookah bar, you get some mint tea. Yeah. It's in context.
Yeah. But black tea with mint in it is grand. I was in the Khanel Khalili in Cairo.
That means I love you.
In one of the older. Old. I don't know if it's the oldest. They claim so, but it's one of the oldest tea houses, and it was great. A little glass. Brown tea with a little sprig of mint. It wasn't a mint tea. Just like a little.
There's
sprig
no
of
like mugs in the Arab
yeah.
world.
They have. It had a little metal thing around it.
Oh, metal.
Like it was a glass and then a wire, like a wire with made a handle. So there was It was mostly glass, and it was just something to hold on to.
I'll give you something to hold on to.
Cause like at the local sort of hookah bar, it was just like a glass, like you would put for like water.
Like a glass of beer. Well,
for juice.
What they call a Whopper. I don't know. I didn't go into Burger King.
Janeway liked Vulcan spice tea though.
Yeah.
Well, she accepted it.
She liked it. She was into it. She was like,
I
oh,
think I, she's
she
a
was
coffee
like,
girl.
She was like, I love this Vulcan spice tea.
And maybe it's good. Green tea is good. It's pretty mild.
If you're in the mood for green tea, it's good.
It's mild. Yeah. I don't think mild.
It's a different experience.
I don't think mild means flavorless. General assumption.
Consumption.
Sorry, my dentures.
You haven't been around humans too much, have you?
My general assumption
but I...
is that Vulcan food is meant to be not flavorless, but on the mild side.
Subtle flavors.
The less interesting, unless you're into those subtle flavors, which can be quite delicious.
Maybe they have subtle, like, nice little, like, you know, like a little bit just ginger.
Mm. Well, I hope you'll tell all your friends. Set the record straight.
Umami.
Tell all your friends about this stupid podcast.
Hey, Patrick, I noticed something. I don't think there was one...
for the audience.
Oh, fuck. What is it called? Now I can't remember what
Dan
it's called.
Has his fingers and he's just like banging on the table.
There was not one instance of free association from you.
Jesse was all banging on the table.
I don't think there was one instance. You did not free associate this episode.
Really?
Did I disassociate?
I thought I did.
I felt like I disassociated a few times. Just float around the room, being like, "Oh, look at
no."
This
there was no instance of me like saying something, and then I hit a trigger word that caused you to go off into some like super movie quote. I mean, you did do the glass of beer thing, but that was not normal.
That's also, regular.
That was regular. Jesse. So yeah. You didn't give a shit.
Yeah, exactly.
But I wasn't like
fuck you. I'm just kidding.
We're in what the football fans call extra time.
I wasn't like, I'm thinking about buying a watch, and then you go like off into the, like the whole scene in Pulp Fiction or something.
This
right.
watch.
Yeah,
right.
Stick the watch on my hand.
Maybe it's from your ADHD medication.
I had to hide this miserable hunk of metal.
Okay, maybe not.
Up my ass. 2 years.
Certainly.
The medication could be working. We'll find out.
Do you feel it? Do you feel buzzed?
Weeks go along.
Do you feel buzzed?
No. I feel like...
Are you like, yeah, I feel fucking good, man. Yeah, I'm like,
I got a tingle in my dingle.
Yeah, you got a dingle tingle?
No, it's more like, let's do some ironing.
Let's get some shit done.
Let's take this fucking vacuum cleaner apart.
Right. Take it apart, put it back together.
Yeah.
Put it all together and take it all apart. All right. It's Mr. Potato Head and bucket of parts, buckets of parts for all your farts.
I think there's been, if it's not generated by me, I apologize, but there's been plenty of free association, as Dan refers to it.
This Bilana's episode. On it.
And, by who?
Well,
I'm not joking.
As you listen back to
Vulcans episode, without logic.
Listen back to the episode, Dan. And,
you could feel that way again, T'Pol.
Figure it out.
Commander Tucker suggested I try something called
Adderall.
Pizza.
You thought that was way funny. You thought that was so funny. You thought that was so funny.
Tucker's like talking about some kind of like Florida elementary school dance.
There's something I've always wondered about Vulcans. Yeah. Maybe you could clear it up for me.
What did he?
Oh, you mean sex?
We went to like pee-pee grass elementary.
Pee-pee grass, yeah.
Is it true you mate year-round with any of them you choose?
Any of them.
Humans fuck all the time. They eat six meals a day and they sleep 12 hours a day.
Yeah, I know, right? You're just like sleeping and fucking.
Sleeping and fucking.
Eating watching, donuts.
Watching football players murder each other.
That was, okay, that's one thing. Thank you for bringing that up. I know we got to stop, but what a shitty...
It's just a game.
What a shitty anthropologist that would not explore that aspect any further.
I know.
They just see a game in passing and they just see something and they don't think to look into it. They're just like, oh, they must be trying to kill
him. I know, right? I don't understand
games. That's not a fucking researcher right there. Yeah, if you don't give yourself enough time to understand something, you don't start fucking reporting it.
One of the major themes and contributions to the Star Trek universe that Enterprise provided, and I think was even intended to provide, was clear evidence, because people were not necessarily interpreting it correctly before, that Vulcans are fucking lame sometimes. Yeah,
they're fucking lame.
Often lame.
Often lame soon.
Often lame soon.
Wesley hates, what is it? Enterprise. Wesley needs braces. Enterprise. No, not braces. Wesley hates, what is it?
So Dan is referencing.
Was Wesley something?
It's not even, you can't
Enterprise.
Even, you can't even call it a deep cut.
It's from like the Simpsons.
What was it? Wesley.
This is like, you know that like Russian, the thing the Russians like, drilled so deep
Wesley
that
makes
you can
faces.
Like hear the sounds of hell? It's not just a deep cut. What Dan is doing now is the Russian hell.
Is
hall.
It Wesley makes faces? Wesley makes faces. Enterprise.
Isaac is going to write in and let us know what it is.
Wesley makes faces. Like Enterprise.
Isaac knows what
no,
it is.
No, because in the Simpsons it's Lisa needs braces. Dental plan. Yeah. Lisa needs braces. Dental plan.
Yeah. I think I
Wesley makes faces. Enterprise. Wesley makes faces. Enterprise.
He does. All right.
Wesley makes faces. Enterprise.
There's a final faces. There's a final bit of information that needs to be provided to the audience. It is not Jesse's sniffles. That bit of information is that next week we will be discussing next? Star Trek: The Original Series episode. The Alternative Factor.
Okay, let's do it.
So, The Alternative Factor.
Watch, sorry about that.
Watch that. Remember that. We'll discuss it.
Put in your pipe and smoke it.
Are we going to do it on a Thursday or a Friday?
I don't know, but send us your shit.
Doesn't matter to them.
No.
It matters in the sense that if they want to get an email to us, maybe to be safe, save Thursday if you got something
that would make more
sense. If you want
sense,
it on the next
podcast.
Because
you need to edit it before you go to the meeting.
Thursday, yeah. All right. Cool. Goodbye.
What?
It's the end of the episode. Goodbye.
Oh my God!
You gotta play.
Smell you later.
Why are you freaking out? How could you be surprised?
I don't know. It just happened.
11 minutes.
I know. It happened so suddenly.
Am I allowed to trigger the end now, Mr.
Trigger.
Dan?
Okay. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I think it's time you and your friends went on your merry way.
It's called chicken.
Chicken. Good night.
Fuck. Twice.
Chicken marsala.
Chicken twice. Chicken played twice because it's that nice. Chicken so nice I had to play it twice.
Chicken marsala isn't that nice.
Oh, it's called chicken.
Good night.
You fucked it up.
I fucked it up.
There's something I've always wondered about Vulcans. Maybe you could clear it up for me.
Please?
It's kind of personal.
Go ahead.
Well, I've learned about your marriage customs. How your parents arrange the whole thing when you're young, stuff like that. But what about,
Ah, you mean sex?
It's not a topic I've heard Vulcans discuss.
Well, we do have it, if that's what you're asking.
Am I interrupting anything?